Hello, I'm Raymond Benson, and I'd like to welcome you to Bond Music 101. Class is now in session.
$267,000.
I'll settle for one dance with Domino.
Can you play any other tune?
Something we're making for the Americans. Called a ghetto blaster.
May I cut in?
Play it again, Sam. It's a charming tune.
Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. I'm one of your hosts, Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, and we're here today to have our friend and multi-Bond novel author Raymond Benson enlighten us on the history and the scores of the soundtracks of the 007 universe. But before we get to Professor Benson himself, let me introduce my co-host, my fellow classmate on this episode, Mr. Alan J. Porter. How's it going today, Alan?
Hey, it's going good today. What, no best friend remark today?
It's implied. I figure by now they know that they know we're best friends, you know?
People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person who loves.
Oh, okay. So today we are tripping out to the swinging psychedelic pandemonium that is the brassy sound of 1967's Casino Royale soundtrack, which for me, I will say, I know a lot of people really dislike this movie, but I actually quite enjoy it. It's my 007 guilty pleasure. So I always have fun watching it, but I would say probably one of the highlights is the soundtrack.
I would agree with that.
All right. So now the student desks are filled by Jared and me. Let's bring in the professor himself, Mr. Raymond Benson, for Bond Music 101 on Casino Royale 1967.
Hello, class. Hey. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Ray.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to 1967.
Oh, I loved 1967. I was there in 1967. I saw Casino Royale on the big screen with my dad, and he was just totally bewildered by the whole thing.
Well, sure. That same thing happened to me.
Yeah, well, so was I. I mean, you know, I was pretty bewildered, too. I was, you know, I knew it was going to be a Bond film, and I had seen the first four. You know, I was pretty young. I didn't really understand the whole rights situation and that this would be not like the other Bond movies.
that's putting it mildly, 007.
Yeah, so it was very bewildering. But, you know, at the time I enjoyed it. It was fun. I liked Peter Sellers. I was already a fan of his. And the music just blew me away. I really loved the music. Now, you know, looking back at the movie, I have to kind of disagree there with Alan, but I don't think it's a good movie at all.
I never said it was good. I said it was a guilty pleasure.
Okay. Well, I can see that. There's moments in it that are fun to watch. It's very colorful, and it's such a mess that it's like a train wreck. You know, you can't take your eyes off of it. But the music is so outstanding. It's exhilarating is how good that music is. And I went out and bought the soundtrack almost immediately, you know, as soon as it was available. You know, I got to say, you know, this was also the year of Yolen Live Twice and John Barry's score. We're going to talk about next time in next class. It's easily one of his greatest works, easily. But if I had to put Casino Royale score up against John Barry's score for Yolen Live Twice, which is wonderful, I might give the edge to Casino Royale. Ooh. I think it's that inventive. I think it's just original, inventive. It's fun. It's so well done. And it makes me laugh.
Get letters.
But, you know, interestingly, neither one of them were nominated for the best Oscar score. However, The Look of Love, the song, was nominated for best song, making it the first Bond song to be nominated for an Oscar. So, yeah.
It was a long time till we got a second one, wasn't it?
Not that long. Live and Let Die was the next one. Yeah. Okay. You know, 6 years later.
So. 6 years. Okay.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, and I'm sure anyone who's listening to this podcast probably knows the history behind the film. When Ian Fleming, you know, wrote the first Bond novel, it was Casino Royale, and he sold the film rights pretty quickly, right off the bat in 1954. The rights were owned by a producer named Gregory Ratoff in England. And he actually tried to make a film of it in the 50s in England and couldn't get backing for it. And it just kind of died. And then he died. And
inconvenient.
His widow then sold those rights to Charles K. Feldman, who was a producer and agent in Hollywood. Feldman didn't really realize what he had. He had these rights. Ratoff's widow sold him a whole mess of rights, you know, a barrel full of rights of all different projects and stuff. One of these was Casino Royale. So it wasn't until later, after Eon had gotten the ball rolling and Dr. No from Rush with Love, Goldfinger came out, they were big hits, and Feldman realized that he was sitting on this property, the rights to a James Bond novel. So he actually, you know, first tried to co-produce with Broccoli and Saltzman, that he demanded such a high price for his share. You know, I think he wanted like 75% or something, you know, and Broccoli and Saltzman just said, go away. Forget it. You know, Feldman realized after the success of the Eon films that he really couldn't do a serious Bond film and compete with Sean Connery and the Eon films. So he decided to capitalize on the huge success of his film that he produced called What's New Pussycat, which came out in 1965. And that was a film about swinging London. And it had Peter Sellers and Peter O'Toole and had Woody Allen, who also wrote the screenplay. And Burt Bacharach did the score for that. And in fact, his song, What's New Pussycat, was nominated for an Oscar, sung by Tom Jones.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa!
It was a hit, and Feldman just said, well, we'll do basically a sequel, the same style of movie, this sort of wacky, swinging London, psychedelic, late 60s thing, and set it around James Bond, and got a cast of thousands and several directors. There's five directors, several screenwriters, and apparently Woody Allen helped write the screenplay, but he's uncredited. You know, it just kind of turned out to be a big mess. Went over budget. The plot's incomprehensible. You know, the movie's kind of done in vignettes, you know, just little vignettes here and there that kind of tell some strange story about, well, it's Jimmy Bond, really, Woody Allen's character. And he's trying to make the world. What was his plot? It was to make all the men shorter than he.
Yes.
Something like that. So anyway, I actually think Austin Powers took more from this movie than he did from the Eon films. Yeah. All right. So Burt Bacharach, he was born May 12th, 1928. So that makes him 91 today. He had done, you know, a lot of pop music, worked with Dionne Warwick a lot. He had done a little bit of film music. His first one was the theme song from a movie called Wives and Lovers. That came out in 1963. Then What's New Pussycat was next, and he did the whole score and the song, got a nomination for the song. He did the theme song for Alfie. He didn't do the score, but he did the theme song, 1966, that Lewis Gilbert directed. That was nominated for Best Song as well. That same year, he did the score for After the Fox, and then came Casino Royale. Now, he worked with Hal David a lot, with a lot of his pop songs. Hal David was born May 25th, 1921, and he left us on September 1st, 2012. Hal David actually did some work for the Eon films. He wrote the lyrics to We Have All the Time in the World and Moonraker with John Barry. So Bacharach worked on this film, on Casino Royale, for 2 years. It took that long. I mean, it was just stretched out, the production, a long time, stops and starts. And he started work on it, actually, immediately after the premiere of What's New Pussycat. But much of the work was done in late 1966. And he did pretty much all the work in the United States and not in England. The first theme song they had decided would be a vocal number. And possible singer. They were already throwing names of singers around before they even had the song. Kiki D was mentioned, Cilla Black, and even Lulu. And they wanted some kind of a little comedic opening song. And he composed a number called Little French Girl, Little French Boy. That was the name of it. It was later, the title was shortened to Little French Boy. It didn't become the theme song, but it is used in the score. Another piece that he wrote was called Let Your Love Come Through. And this had lyrics to it. Hal David wrote the lyrics, Let Your Love Come Through. But for some reason, Feldman or whoever, maybe they all decided, nah, this doesn't really work. But Bacharach used the melody to use it later in the film, but it wasn't called that. Now, I will get to that later. So finally, he wrote a little Baroque number, which became what we know as the Casino Royale theme. And it had lyrics. Again, they tossed around possible singers like Johnny Rivers, the guy who did Secret Agent Man. Dusty Springfield was very popular at the time. And they thought about bringing in the Animals, the band. But the man who recorded it was a guy named Mike Redway. He had also sung the demo of What's New Pussycat, so, you know, Bacharach knew him. Mike Redway was an actor and a singer. He wasn't really well known, but he did a great Noel Coward impression. And that's what he does with the song. And he recorded the song with lyrics, but then they decided they wouldn't use it in the title, the main titles. And instead, they used it at the end. So we're going to hear Mike Redway's version, which was recorded first. We're going to hear it at the end of the program because it was over the end titles. Now, they thought, okay, let's bring in somebody else to sing it. Johnny Rivers, again, was going to maybe sing the theme, but he declined. He didn't like it. The Animals even supposedly came in and listened to it, but we don't know what they thought. It didn't happen. Well, finally, the call went out to Herb Alpert. And Herb Alpert, you know, was huge at the time with his Tijuana Brass. And the idea, I guess, you know, was floated. Let's keep the theme instrumental. You know, just have Herb Alpert play the trumpet, the melody, over Bacharach's orchestra. Contrary to what people believe, the Tijuana Brass, as the band, is not playing on this track. It's really Bacharach's orchestra and Herb Alpert. But they credited it to Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass because that's what everybody knew. Apparently now, from what I've read, they did record it. The band did record it, but it just, I guess, nobody liked it. It wasn't used. They did keep one of the marimba players, Julius Wechter. He plays on the track. But it's really just Herb Alpert. So why don't we hear the opening track, Casino Royale, performed by Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Ish.
Right.
Like you said, it always puts a smile on your face.
I know. It just makes me want to get up and dance. I mean,
I was actually just going to say, it's a good job the video camera isn't on because I was bopping around in my chair here in the office.
I know. It's great. I love it when they repeat the chorus and the maracas come in.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about? Where it starts going. I just think that, it's just so cool. Okay, next up in the score that out there in podcast land, if you have the soundtrack album, the tracks on the album are not in the order of the film, but we're going to play them in the order of the film, at least our selections anyway. The next up is a song called The Venerable Sir James Bond, and this music is played at the very beginning, right after the credits, as the cars are converging and M comes to the estate where David Niven, as Sir James Bond, resides. Hit it. I love it. It's so nice.
it gives that sort of stately, venerable rhythm to it, doesn't it? It's
and then
sort of the fun bit in the middle, with the trumpet.
Yeah. Whoever's playing that trumpet's really good. I mean, that's a hard little riff, You can almost, feel his lips puckering there. All right. Next up is Little French Boy. And this is the track that Bacharach first composed to possibly be the theme song of the movie. And instead it's used to, it's used for fight sequences.
That's really all you need to know about this movie.
Right. Let's play it.
Thank you.
puts me in the mood for combat.
I find that I always play air cymbals at the part where it's dun, 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 you know, that big part.
Do we know why it was given that title?
Apparently it had lyrics, and the lyrics did something like, he's a little French boy, dun, 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 she's a little French girl. Dun, 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 dun. That's all I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So who knows why that was possibly considered the title track, but right. Anyway.
Okay.
Now Miss Moneypenny gets a song. Do you remember how when we did Goldfinger and there was the Pussy Galore's Flying Circus number and the brass did this with the muted horns, giving it that sexy sound? Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about how that wah, 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 you know, it just automatically conjured up in your mind, oh, this is supposed to be sexy. Well, we get a lot of 60s,
60s sound.
Yeah, 60s, 60s. Say that real fast, you know, 10 times. you get a lot of that in this next track, and this is called Moneypenny Goes for Broke.
Let's check out that sexy, 60s sax, sexy sound.
It's easy for you to say.
Awesome.
I gotta say, the Eon Films never had a Moneypenny like this one. Okay, there came the need for a romantic number. So that's how The Look of Love came about. Hal David wrote the lyrics. They got Dusty Springfield. She was just perfect for this. Phil Ramone produced this track. And there's also some instrumental versions of The Look of Love that appear in the movie. In fact, the instrumental version is heard first in the film. And almost immediately after it, we hear the vocal version. And this is over a dreamy sequence with Peter Sellers and Ursula Andress. This became, a huge hit and a lounge singer standard. And like I said before, it was nominated for an Oscar. Let's hear Dusty sing The Look of Love.
The look of love is in your eyes. A look your smile can't disguise. The look of love. It's saying so much more than just words could ever say. And what my heart has heard, well, it takes my breath away. I can hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long I have waited, waited just to love you. Now that I've found you, you've got the look of love. It's on your face, the look that time can't erase. Be mine this be just the start of so many nights like this? Let's take our lover's vow and then seal it with a kiss. I can hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long I have waited, waited just to love you. Now that I have found you, don't ever go. Don't ever go. I love you so.
Casts a spell. It really does.
I once sang that song on Alan's voicemail, and he never called me back.
I tell you, whoever's playing the sax in the solo part there in the middle, he sounds just like her. You know, they must have said, "We want you to play the sax exactly how she sings."
And that's great.
God, the guy does it. It's pretty amazing.
As you said, it's just a captivating track. You can just listen to it over and over again, which is pretty much what I've been doing this afternoon. So,
I know. Yeah. It's very dreamy.
Yeah.
All right. This next track is a much more dynamic number. This is Sir James's trip to find Mata, Mata Hari's daughter, Mata Bond, played by Joanna Pettit. This is much more orchestral and exotic. It's a fine track, I think. Let's listen to Sir James' trip to find Mata.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, the first bit of this track was actually a different cue in the movie. A lot of soundtrack albums did that in those days. They would combine different cues and then call it one thing. That sort of plaintive violin there at the beginning, and then going into the reprise of the Casino Royale theme. That was all heard earlier in the film during the David Niven section. It was actually a little bit called Agent Mimi, but it's not called that on the album, the soundtrack album. Why they combined it here, I don't know. I guess it sounds okay. The real Trip to Find Mata part sounded, you could tell when mm-hmm. when that part started mm-hmm. right after the Casino Royale bit. It seemed to have a much more fuller orchestral sound there. What'd you guys think?
Definitely, you could hear the tone difference. And then it got that militaristic with the snares sound, and just got very exciting there at the end. What do you think, Alan?
Yeah, no, I do love it. I love the kettle drums and at the end, and it always brings to mind that sort of weird, strange Oriental style mm-hmm. dance that she did. It always brings that visual to mind. I find it a very evocative track. And I enjoy a lot of the music here, but this is one of the ones that actually brings a scene from the movie right back into sort of playing on the mental sort of screen. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I can just see and feel the finger symbols.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, our next track, you may remember earlier in the program, I talked about a song called Let Your Love Come Through that had lyrics to it. And it was decided to drop the lyrics, and Bacharach decided to use the melody in the scene where Madaban goes to Berlin. On the soundtrack album, this is called First Stop Berlin. On the album, it was actually the second part of a combined track again. The first part was called Flying Saucer, which is another reprise of the Casino Royale theme. And Jared, I hope you edited that out. And we're going to start with First Stop Berlin. This is a real funky 1967 piece that, you know, if you remember in the movie, it shows, you know, the West Berlin side is really hip and cool. And then it kind of shifts over to across the wall to show the East Berlin side. And that's where it's all very sad and depressing. And you hear the balalaika. And then it goes back to the West Berlin side, and we're back into the cool, funky sound. So let's hear First Stop Berlin. So you can kind of hear where the lyric came in, you know, la da 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 da, let your love come through. La, da, 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 da. You can just kind of hear that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So at least that's where I think it went. Those lyrics came in. Sounds like they did anyway. But I like that track. It's fun.
It is real smooth. It's real just smooth to listen to.
Yeah.
All right. Very 60s.
Yeah. Very 60s. Exactly. All right. Our next track is another action scene. You know, he was probably told, okay, this is going to be a lot of stuff going on in this. This is, you know, a lot of violence. Listen to Home James. Don't Spare the Horses.
Violence in action.
We'll be right back.
might be the most 60s thing I've ever heard.
It just conjures up images of the Go-Go Girls up in the cages over the dance floor.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
with the light show going, you know, behind them. Bacharach actually used this as the flip side of the single, the B-side of either Casino Royale or The Lick of Love. But he also had it on an album, but he retitled it. It was called Bond Street outside of the score. All right. There's a lot of tracks from the album that we're not going to cover because we don't have time. So, you know, I really like Le Chiffre's Torture of the Mind. I think that's a really great track with all the bagpipes. It's just, you know, a very inventive score. And we're going to close it with the end titles. And this is the Casino Royale theme sung with the vocals by Mike Redway. Unfortunately, this was not on the original album. You only get this track in some of the later releases, the anniversary releases that are remastered and added more tracks and things like that. So here we go. Let's listen to the end titles of Casino Royale.
Seven James Bonds at Casino Royale. They came to save the world and win the gal at Casino Royale. Six of them went to a heavenly spot. The seventh one is going to a place where it's terribly hot. Fighting for our lives. Hefner Fear Bond is here. He's gonna save the world at Casino Royale.
Noel Coward.
Ian Fleming's next door neighbor, if I remember rightly.
In Jamaica, that's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's what we need in one of them at the end of Bond 25 is somebody singing, Have No Fear, James Bond is here. I think that's what. I would With stop guns. Off the Dan Craig era perfectly.
So. It's either him or Mighty Mouse. Right? Yeah.
It does sound like Mighty Mouse.
That's funny. Here I come to save the day. All right. Well, first of all, let me just talk about the vinyl soundtrack album. When the record came out, the vinyl record, this is considered one of the best recorded film scores of all time. It's now out of print and became very sought after. You know, if you could find an original copy of the soundtrack album, then you'd struck gold. But it has been released on CD. It doesn't sound as good as that original vinyl did, but it's still good. There were two singles. The Casino Royale theme with Herb Alpert was a single, hit single, and The Look of Love was also a single. So, gee, here we have the first, Bond movie that has two hit songs. and it was not an Eon Productions film. Which is, and you know, Herb Alpert actually had some further Bond work with Never Say Never Again, the other non-Eon film. Herb Alpert produced the title song, Never Say Never Again, that his wife, Lanny Hall, sang. So, and he plays trumpet on it as well.
I didn't know so, that.
Yeah.
That's wild.
There you go. So there's some trivia for you.
I am hugging my original 1967 vinyl Casino Royale as we speak. I've heard that it is so valuable. So
it is.
And it is actually probably one of the ones that are the Bond vinyls that I play the most. It really does sound crisp. It's a really great sounding album. So that sort of brings us to the end of today's music lesson on Casino Royale. So what was your sort of favorite track of the ones we discussed today, Raymond?
Well, I love the theme. I just think the Casino Royale theme is really, really fun and well-written, well-arranged. It's just a beautiful piece. Second would probably be, wow, you know, I really like The Look of Love. I got to admit it. It's really gorgeous. But I like all the pieces, all the little fun pieces. The Money Penny song is just, you know, catchy. And the First Stop Berlin is really catchy. And I like the Benny Hill sound of the Home James Don't Spare the Horses. You know, it does. It sounds like a Benny Hill show. It's one of those soundtrack albums that you can put on and every single track is melodic and you can remember it. You can sing along with it or play air guitar with it or whatever. It's not like a lot of soundtracks that has a lot of, you know, discordant action scenes and things that you can't hum along to. This one can. I mean, every single track is just a winner.
So basically everything.
Yeah. he's going with everything.
Yeah, I think so.
What about you, Jared? Did you anything stand out to you?
I'm going to go all in on Money Penny Goes for Broke. I toe tap and head bop to that song. That's going to be my game winner. What about you, Alan?
Probably same theme because that's the one I'll hum along to and dance and bop around to, and it just puts a smile on my face. But of the sort of the other tracks, I actually like Little French Boy. Again, I think it brings to mind those stupid fight scenes in the movie and just makes me smile as well. So, yeah. Though I had no idea why it was called that, so now I know.
Yeah. All right. At the Oscars, Dusty Springfield was not available to sing The Look of Love, but they got Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66 to do it. And they actually had another hit single with the same song. So I don't know how many people have done The Look of Love and had hit singles with it. But, you know, after Dusty Springfield, Sergio Mendes did it. And I believe my little bird tells me that one of our bonus tracks tonight is the Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66 version. Is that correct, Jared?
You might be on to something, yes.
Okay.
Yes, in our bonus track, as you guys know, I scour the internet for remixes or alternate versions of tracks from today's feature soundtrack. When I say scour the internet, it means I check my email. Because Raymond usually makes a suggestion. See, I had a bonus track selected, and it was the Micro Red Wave version of Casino Royale. And then Raymond said, well, I want to cover that in the main show. So I was like, all right. So I'll do the Sergio Mendes, because Raymond recommended it, and I went and listened to it. So that's cool. And then Alan sent me some suggestions, and I came really close to taking the Isaac Hayes remix of The Look of Love, but it's an 11-minute song.
It's 11 minutes of pure soul and funk. It is brilliant, but yes, it is long.
It is brilliant, and I might love it so much that I might just tack it in after the credits of the show today for just the bonus people who want to hear it. But for our official bonus track today, we will do the Sergio Mendes version of The Look of Love, which is amazing that it also was a hit song based off of the other hit song. So The Look of Love just keeps giving and giving. So let's check out what Sergio's got. My breath away.
time can't erase. I'm to love. Let this be just the start of some many nights like this. Let's take a lover's bow and then seal it with the kiss.
Now that is peppy. It has a South American influence, I'd say.
Well, Sergio Mendez in Brazil 66. There you go.
There you go. What do you think of that, Raymond?
Oh, I like it. I like Dusty's version better, but, you know, this is fun. I remember seeing it on the Oscars, seeing them play it.
Yeah, I agree that Dusty's is probably more soulful, and this one's just a little more South American.
Yeah.
Get that pep. Yeah.
Latin.
Latin.
Latin. Latin.
There you go. That's a good one.
When I re-listened to it again without knowing about the Oscar show connection, my first reaction was, that sounds like it's a production number for one of those big TV variety shows we used to have in the 60s and 70s. So
yeah, it was.
But it's exactly what it was. So that explains it. But it has that vibe to it. It has that big production stage dancers, blah, blah, blah. It comes across. But yeah, I do like it. Still think I prefer the Isaac Hayes version. But
stay tuned after the show.
But Dusty's is still the definitive version. So.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, so, you know, that ends our class on Casino Royale. Next time we will get back into the Eon groove and do You Only Live Twice, one of my favorites.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Raymond. And as you mentioned, that brings us to the end of this episode of Raymond Benson's Bond Music 101. So if you've got a question or a comment, you can email us at ohmspod@outlook.com. And thanks for the couple of emails we've already had. Or you can comment on Twitter at ohmspod. And if you'd like to chat with us personally on social media, I can be found at Alan J. Porter or at Bond Lexicon. And I'm actually just going to do a sidebar and plug something that came out today. I've actually just started to write a new series of articles for the herocollector.com website on James Bond, and the first one went live today on James Bond's origins and his connections with Jamaica. So if you want to go read that, you can head over to herocollector.com, and there'll be more articles popping up between now and the release of Bond 25.
I read it.
You.
It was good. Very nice.
Yeah. Very cool.
So, Raymond, where can we find you on the intertubes?
Well, first, I just wanted to give a shout out to, a lot of my sources. I pick up a lot of this information that I talk about from various Bond books. John Burlingame's The Music of James Bond book is probably the definitive Bible of Bond music. So I highly recommend that. You can find it on Amazon and anywhere else. So it's well worth it. It's a fun read. But as for me, you can find me at RaymondBenson.com. Or on Twitter at Raymond Benson, or on Facebook. Just type in my name. I'm sure you'll find me. That's all she wrote.
And Jared, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Yard Sale Artist. It's all Yard Sale Artist on any of your social medias. And my next appearance will be at Dragon Con in Atlanta over Labor Day weekend if you want to come see me and say hi. And speaking of saying hi, I just want to give a quick shout out to Kirk Groenveld. He sent us a lot of emails and feedback on our show, a lot of positive feedback. And it's just nice to know that you're out there listening and enjoying the show, Kirk. So thanks for sending those emails.
And as always, we have to thank all our patrons who support all our White Rocket endeavors and podcasts.
And we'll kick it over to Van Plexico to read that list for us.
And as always, we have to thank our patrons who keep these programs on the air and bring them to you. Their continued monthly support makes all the programs on our network possible. For as little as $1 a month, you can join their ranks and help make these shows continue to happen. We have to thank, of course, Brendan O'Dwyer, Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Carl Von Drunker, Phil Amthor, Winston Boddy, Willie Carden, Susan Trawick, Ben Spooner, Stephen Thompson, Chris Usher, Justin Bean, Steve Trawick, and Richard Stevens, along with Clarence Alford, David Hegler, Robert Mendenhall, Johnny Caldwell, Reynolds Wolfe, Joshua Corbett, Valiant Hermes, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Clay Henson, Ann Kangian, Catherine England, George Gaston, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Jared Albrick, William Glenn Matthews, Joel Beckham, Theodore Gary, Shannon Butson, Taylor Sanford, Mickey B., Hugh Anderson, Shane Bailey, Mick Vigicana, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen, Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, and Dave Powell. And then there's Jeremy Minton, Lane Middleton, Donnie Reynolds, Wade Carson, Ivor Evans, John Zavachin, Chris Commode, Darren Pyle, Chris, Ward Am Wade, Jason Albrick, Randall Walker, Ben Amos, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Patrick Williams, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Raines, Nicholas Craig, Russell Milling, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, Spanky, Brant Rumble, J.W. Rice, Michael Morton, Lawrence Kane, Surfer Chickify, and all of our other one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you so much. We couldn't do it without you, and the rest of you just go straight to www.plexico.net, P-L-E-X-I-C-O.net, and there you can click on the Become a Patron button and help support all of our shows in this network. We appreciate it. You can see on patreon.com all the various benefits you get. We appreciate it, and we will see you guys down the road.
And with that, I want to thank everybody for joining us for this episode. Just like Raymond said earlier, next month we're going to scale that volcano that is You Only Live Twice. I've got my ninja suit. We're going to make Alan look a little bit Asian, which is going to be weird. But don't be late to class.
As always, we highly encourage you to legally purchase or legally download the music you heard on today's show. Please support the James Bond creative community.
Are you going to do a test?
Yes.
Make sure we can hear?
Yes. Good. Good.
Good. You sounded like, you sounded like Boris there. Good. Put it back to the beginning of the track, though.
I do what I want. Don't worry about it.
Power's gone to your head, Jared. You're getting bullshy.
I'm mad with power, I tell you. You guys plotting behind my back about bonus track. Well, it's not plotting, right? It's you're making up as you go. I forgot.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
We're pantsers by the seat of our pants.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I need to learn where the mute button is so I can turn it off before I start talking.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
The question you got to ask yourself is, would I let you down on a song edit? Yes, but what yes. I did do is I do know exactly where it starts, so I'm going to skip right to it. Maybe you took some Quaaludes before the show, for all we know. I don't know.
I don't know. All right. Well, it is 1967.
So. Yeah.
No judgment. Thank you.
the love of love is in your eyes, the look your heart can't disguise, the look of love is saying so much more than words could ever say. Yeah. A look my heart has heard, my mind takes my breath away.
I can hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long I have waited just to love you, now that I have found you. Don't go. Thank you.